This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. They know your home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'll tell you about the stupidest idea I've heard all damn day, coming up in a moment. I've been wanting to get this off my chest for quite some time. Because in our world, and especially in the world of the NFL, there are innovators, then there are copiers, and there are people who copy who make it better. There are people who copy and they fail miserably. And if you're a Texans fan, and I'm not sure about our clearance right now at the Great 610 in Houston, I have to check in on that. I know Landry Locker's probably listening. Actually, he's watching Cheers. Maybe Figgy's listening. I'm not sure. I got to check in about this. But I know all this last week, people have been calling them up. They were fit to be freaking tied over the Houston Texans, and most notably Bill O'Brien, and I'm going to get to that here in a moment. Just need to tell you, 5 burning questions coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Also, the great Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, NFL Network, college football analyst as well. We'll talk to him about at around 12:40 p.m. Eastern, 9:40 a.m. Pacific, about what the NFL plans to do here is. We should go into the spring and maybe even into the summer with all this going on in our country, and we're going to got to get some things figured out, especially with the NFL draft. I have an idea to make the draft a TV sensation that I think Billy is going to call me a total moron for. Also at 1:20 p.m. Eastern, we will do, even though Hickey's not here, I might make Hickey do it over the phone. Hey, Billy, real quick, you there?
Yes, I am, Ken.
Should I make Hickey proctor the Ryan Hickey's NFL scouting combine on the phone?
Yeah, let's do that.
I mean, honestly, he should earn a check somehow, right? He's sitting at home. I know he's not listening to the show.
Of course he's not. That's just... But you know what, though? Ken,
you know that, Billy. Go ahead, bud.
No, I'm just saying. It's like it's human nature to be at home and then not do your work.
He's sitting at home. He's assing off. There's no way he's actually paying attention to the show.
No, absolutely
not. I'm here. Okay, sure you are. So you know what? I think I might call Hickey up and make his ass do it coming up at 1:20 p.m. Eastern, okay? I think that would make everybody feel better. If Pierno's still there, that'll make him feel better.
Absolutely not. Yeah. No, he's done.
It's not going to make you feel better?
He's not getting involved with the program today.
Why is that? No, hold on. Why are you laying down rules here? The show's named after me. What are you doing, Pierno?
No, because he's at home. He's not doing anything. He's in bed. He's under his Notre Dame coverage. He's not doing anything. Let him go to sleep.
You are screaming into the microphone, Pierno. That's how mad you are.
Because he's not here. So let him stay home and enjoy himself. I love Hickey, but take the day off. You already took the day off. Enjoy it.
Can you believe they were getting calls on Pony's show on Sunday about his trophies? And because he has trophies still from his Little League days in his room?
I don't care about that. I have a lot worse in my bedroom than that.
What do you? You got toys in your bedroom, don't
toys.
You?
I have toys. I have Toy Story. I have Ninja Turtles. I have Ghostbusters.
Boy, that's sexy.
I have wrestling action figures.
You have wrestling action figures, do you?
The old Hasbros I got packaged up on the wall.
Man, between you and Hickey and Billy Jack over there, you guys are like the Bloater Brothers, man. I mean, you guys are just slaying one after another. Woo! Damn. Well done. Congratulations, Pierno. Pierno, real quick.
What?
What's your most rare toy? Before I go on to my thing about Deshaun Watson. Go ahead.
My most rare.
Your rarest toy.
Rarest toy. I have a lot of. I have the old from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. I have the Ecto-1, and I know in the box. I recently saw it. If I do have the box, you could get $250 for it.
Wow, that's pretty nice. All right, there's a market for that. All right, Pierno, go do your work and get the hell out of there, okay? Thank you, Pierno. By the way, Hickey just DM'd me on Facebook. He says, wow, that's messed up. You two are unbelievable. I won't forget this. He just heard his name and decided to chime in. You know he's doing so. He's probably watching old Notre Dame games from back in the day. Well, let's see what Tim Braun does here. 855-212-4CBS. There are people who, again, they try to emulate and they fail miserably. And I'm waiting for it to happen. Because last year I thought it was going to happen. And I walked back comments last year. Don't think I'm not willing to admit that I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. I have no problem doing so. If I really truly believe in a theorem, I'll keep it going. But if I'm wrong, and I do believe I am, I'll say it. And I thought I was wrong about Bill O'Brien last year. Traded for Laremy Tunsil. Hey, not a bad trade. And I didn't even think that was a bad trade then. Traded Jadeveon Clowney. People hammered Bill O'Brien for that move. Ended up working out. Ended up being a pretty good move. Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans went to the playoffs. Got nicely done. The problem that I have, when you take away, and I know that maybe he wants to draft more and wants to, there's going to be a reason why he makes a trade. He didn't make a trade. Michael Irvin said what he wanted to say, and a lot of people believed it. I'm not going to sit there and cast those type of aspersions. That's really serious, nasty stuff on Bill O'Brien. I don't want to say any of that. Even the Andre Hopkins was like, hey, I don't know about that one. I mean, that was really ugly stuff. I'm not going to get into the he said of any of that. Yet when I look at Houston Texans fans, you have a team there. You had a team right there that had a triumvirate of really solid guys that the fans loved. And when you take away players like that, it's going to bother them. Like J.J. Watt, to me, you can't just cut J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is a Texan for life. What he's done for the city, really what he's done for humanity down there. J.J. Watt is of a special, special part of what that city is, what that franchise is. I don't know if you can make a football decision based on J.J. Watt. I really don't know. Someday you can make a decision based on football with Deshaun Watson, but it isn't going to happen right now. And with DeAndre Hopkins, I thought he was the triumvirate of that. Good, young, can catch just about anything. I feel that he was a fine citizen and still is a fine citizen, and a guy that a lot of fans were able to look up to, a guy that a lot of kids were able to look up to. So when the fans are upset about that, that part I get, and I'm thinking, well, this is a football decision. You have to understand football decisions. Is it? Is it really the best football decision where you're trading for a broken down running back and some draft picks and you're getting rid of Deshaun Watson or you're getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins? Is that really the best football decision there? Because I'm starting to look at Deshaun Watson, folks, and I'm getting nervous because I think he's great. I really do. I was one of the people who I questioned. I knew that he got ready for games one. He was able to break up film. I knew he was able to do a lot of things. The speed on the ball and the velocity of it and what some people wanted to take down from the combine and the pro day, I didn't really want to buy in. There was just something there. I went, he's not my number one guy. Admittedly, and this is where I like to admit that I'm wrong to everybody, admittedly, I had an infatuation with Mitchell Trubisky. A love story with Mitchell Trubisky where compression shorts were in my mouth. Like, that's how much I loved Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, I'll admit when I'm wrong. There you go. And I just didn't see Deshaun Watson being that guy. And I see him now a few years later. Boy, he is that guy. Cat's ass in every way. Good leader, good player. But I feel he's starting to be taken advantage of. When you remove DeAndre Hopkins, when you remove him from the equation, and you get rid of a number one prospect there, you're telling, or a number one receiver, you're telling your football team and you're telling the football world that you can flip out rosters, and Deshaun Watson has what it takes to do that. I think that he does have what it takes to do that, but I don't know if I'd do it this sudden. You're still trying to build. You're still trying to cultivate. You're still trying to put him in the right position. And you also are with a quarterback that at times, and because of your system that you've devised, that at times has put his body in harm's way. I'm trying to keep this man upright. I'm trying to keep this man all right. And when I think about Deshaun Watson right now, I am starting to think about Ryan Grigson, the Indianapolis Colts, and Andrew Luck, and I don't like what's coming to my mind. A career that was cut short because of silly, short-sighted moves that were predicated on being able to throw everything on a quarterback, and that means I'm allowed to go out there and do silly, short-sighted things that it's going to end up costing my team in the long run. But it doesn't matter because I have a quarterback I can throw it on his shoulders. I think Deshaun Watson can handle it. There's some quarterbacks who can't, and they're giving the keys to the car too soon. I think he can handle it, but if his body physically can't handle it, you're gone, he's done, and we're left with the what ifs. The same way we're wondering with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was sudden, he was early, that's a ton, absolutely granted, totally true. But for that time, while that was going on, you picked Bjorn Werner, you picked silly, you made silly decisions and silly picks and made silly trades, and you were able to get away with it. Because Andrew Luck would cover up the silliness of what went on. The abject stupidity of what went on in that organization because he was Andrew Luck, because he was likable, and because he was just that good. Until the serious injury started. Until he ruptured his spleen. And when I see these trades, you know what, Bill? Last year worked for you. We called you stupid. You ended up being smart. Called you dumb, called you reckless, said that you had too much power. This is what happens when you give the power of Belichick to a Belichick disciple, and he's going to run the thing right into the ground. Ended up working out for you. I wonder if you're getting a little bit too big for your britches here. If the ego's playing too much. I understand ultimately you're only trying to do what's right by your franchise. But to take away a number one weapon for your quarterback, a guy you can get the ball out to quickly, a guy who you can get the ball out to on long routes, do whatever you really want to. It concerns me. Because, yes, I think that Deshaun Watson has what it takes to turn decent weapons into really good weapons. I believe that. I think he can take guys and turn them into an Alvin Harper in Dallas and things like that. But I don't know if I'd do it that soon, would I? You got a good thing going. And I'm afraid you really got to mess it up. Because turning around and handing it off to David Johnson, who's beat up, I don't know if that's going to work out for him. And then if he decides to take off with it, God forbid. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, 5 burning questions. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
It's time for 5 burning questions. Before we do this, can I start off with something here? Billy, can I say something to you? I almost called you Hickey. So I'm clicking around during the commercial break, and it's like, hey, there's no sports, so maybe they have some good classic sports. SEC Network has Mizzou and Kentucky from last year, and the ACC Network has Ball State at North Carolina State from last year. Thanks a lot. Hey, don't play 1995. Bobby Bowden and the Florida State Seminoles go to Thursday Night Football taking on UVA and one of the upsets of the decade. Don't do that. No. I want to see Ball State and North Carolina State. I want to see that. Give me that on your television. Please. No, forget that. Forget UNC finally getting over the hump on Florida State with Peppers and everybody. No. Give me Ball State against North Carolina State at the beginning of last year. Thank you. Go ahead.
Are we ready now?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, so 2 NFL head coaches. By the way, I'm just reading this Ball as Hickey State. Wrote it. So if it's
what?
A mistake,
yeah.
It's his fault.
Yeah, go ahead. It's fine, buddy.
Okay.
I got you.
2 NFL head coaches probably wish NFL free agency was pushed back as they were dragged through the mud this week. Earlier this week, Texans head coach and general manager Bill O'Brien traded wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins and a 4th-round pick to the Cardinals for David Johnson, a 2nd-round pick and a 4th-round pick. Up north, the Lions traded corner Darius Slade to the Eagles for 2 picks. On his way out, Slade divulged with his relationship with Matt Patricia went south, citing an incident in 2018 where Patricia called out Slade in a meeting, used some graphic language, after an embarrassing week. Which head coach is more desperate for a successful season, Bill O'Brien or Matt Patricia?
Oh, Matt Patricia, 100%. Well, that was a hard one for you to read, wasn't it there, Billy?
Oh, man.
Good God.
That was a tough one.
It's like you were trying to read the instructions to pour concrete right there. I'm sorry, buddy. Hey, it's definitely Matt Patricia. His you-know-whats are pretty close to the bandsaw. Bill O'Brien has taken all the power. I mean, he really has become the dictator of the Houston Texans, for better or for worse. I think that he should be perfectly – unless Deshaun Watson gets hurt and nobody wants that to happen, they should still be a reasonable football team. They usually start slow, but they should be a reasonable team. With Patricia, I think he's probably on his way on the outs. This is another ugly incident with Darius Slay now, who I happen to like Darius Slay personally. I will say that it's definitely Matt Patricia, who has so much more to lose than what Bill O'Brien does this year. Next.
All right. I think you know what the problem is, Ken? I'm having trouble hearing you.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
Again, Hickey's fault. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver spoke with ESPN on Wednesday night and gave his current thoughts as the NBA season remains in limbo. Silver did have an interesting idea. He expressed he wanted to play games for charity or just fun to give the fans something to watch in the time of sports being shut down. Basketball is nowhere close to resuming, as Silver said last week. That mid-June would be a best-case scenario for restarting the season. Currently, there are 14 known cases of player or organization members that have the coronavirus. Would you be in favor of these games being played for entertainment value?
I would have to say no. According to what Howard Beck told me, he said that there'd be more of a risk of, and we just had Howard Beck on, so he told all of us here on CBS Sports Radio, and you can hear that in the archives at CBSSportsRadio.com. There'd be more of a risk of guys getting injured right now than there would be a coronavirus. But he doesn't know that. I don't know that, really. Adam Silver doesn't know that. I think it's a novel idea. Then they would go through all the precautions that they have to, because if say you had 100 people in an arena. You opened up an arena. You had 100 people in there. If there's more coronavirus in there, your goose is cooked. People are going to go nuts on you. And it's all for a worthy cause. I understand that. But people are going to go nuts on you. So I'd have to say we got to err on the side of caution right now. And at first, when this all went down, I go, yeah, I'll go to a basketball game. I'll go watch basketball. And 48 hours later, 72 hours later, I was like, yeah, that was a horrible idea. Thank goodness that they shut all this down. I don't think Adam Silver should really do it. You really want to do a different type of charity. I don't know. You want to run some sort of a telethon without anybody to help out charity here while you run classic NBA games? Maybe you have an ESPN night with the 2016 finals or game 6 of 92. Maybe you could do something like that. And have the guys talk about it a little bit if you wanted to. Then you could kind of have a telethon or whatever charity you can do. Maybe you'd rather do it that. I think getting people together right now, even in a month from now, might be not the very best way to go about this. So I'd have to err on the side of caution and say no. Next.
Well, there you go. Okay, so.
There you go, baby.
Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good, Ken. How about you?
You're doing fantastic. Continue. Number three.
Some interesting details have emerged that insinuate that Tom Brady's leaving the Patriots was more a breakup than anything else. Matt Miller is reporting that all the way back in October of 2017, when the Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, Bill Belichick initially offered a trade Tom Brady to keep Garoppolo. But the plan was quickly shut down by Robert Kraft. Brady went on to appear back in Super Bowl since that trade offer, losing to the Eagles before beating the Rams. Garoppolo, on the other hand, took the 49ers to the Super Bowl in his first full season as a starter. If you were John Lynch back in 2017, would you have wanted Brady or Jimmy G?
Jimmy Garoppolo. You don't want the older guy, you want the younger guy. This was 2017, right, you're saying?
Yeah, 2017.
I mean, that's not that long ago, and Brady was still 40 years old. I want the young guy. I don't want the old guy. So if I'm John Lynch, I still would rather have Jimmy Garoppolo. It's still the best trade that it's not the best trade they could have made. They certainly could have got a lot more, but it worked out well for both sides. One went to two Super Bowls, one went to one Super Bowl. We'll see if he's able to win one here soon, but it was about as good for both sides as it could come out of, with the exception that the Patriots didn't get more picks and they could have got more picks for Jimmy Garoppolo. I believe everything that was said. This is definitely a breakup. I think that Bill Belichick at that time was probably very bitter there, knowing that the window just got slammed shut with another quarterback that could have taken them another 10 years. I think Jimmy will be, 28, 29 this year? You're looking at maybe another 10, 11 years. Going back to then, it probably would have been another 12 or 13 years. So I can understand where Bill Belichick is on that. But all in all, if San Francisco doesn't get back to a Super Bowl, like there's people who think because of that game that Jimmy Garoppolo is actually garbage and he's going to be figured out and this thing's going to go to hell. If they don't go back to a Super Bowl, the book's still open on this, then you could make that argument. But if they go back to Super Bowls, which I think they have every way that they possibly could, and I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a much better quarterback than what people want to give him credit for in the final 8 minutes of a Super Bowl game, for crying out loud. If they go back, I think that this is a good trade for both sides because they both will have profited from it. Next.
All right. The Los Angeles Rams cut running back Todd Gurley on Thursday, meaning all 22 running backs taken in the 2015 NFL draft are no longer on the same team that drafted them. Some notable names in this class include Melvin Gordon, TJ Yeldon, David Johnson. In this... Sorry, Ken.
Uh-oh.
No,
okay?
I lost my place there. That's
okay.
On me.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, so in this day and age, the teams making do with marginal running backs, should teams refrain from drafting a running back until at least the third round?
I'd rather draft a running back in the first round because I'd have that fifth-year option. How do you like that? I can avoid paying that guy. Like, I'm going to have that problem in Cleveland. Nick Chubb's going into his third year. Nick Chubb only has that four-year thing because he's a second-round pick. So I can't use that in that fifth-year option because he's a second-round pick. Nick Chubb's amazing. Well, all of a sudden, now I have to pay that guy. Yeah, I could turn around and try to franchise him. I think the problem's deeper than that. I seriously think if it's easier said than done, but if you're a parent, you got a kid who's a running back, can you make him a safety? Can you make, like, could Derrick Henry play linebacker in the NFL? Because you get no, it's such a interesting position in the terms of it's at times beautiful and artistic to watch a long run. It sets the tone for your offense. A running back can be such an important piece, and they're used up and gone in the matter of a couple of years. It's maybe the most thankless position on the offense. Like, we adore offensive linemen. Centers are extremely smart individuals. Tight ends, we're seeing those be created anew now. Wide receivers have always been a diva, high-performance position. Quarterbacks always get the glory. Running backs anymore... Like, we don't talk about these guys the way we used to. Long careers, it's just use them up because now if we got to pay him, we're just going to find another guy and he's going to be able to give us some pop that the other guy was able to, and we could just spend more money on our offensive line. We could spend more money on our quarterback. We could spend more money on certain wide receivers or maybe defense. And running backs, man, they get no love. No love whatsoever. I'd still rather draft him in the first round if I'm going to draft him anywhere, or just go that way and say, yeah, I'll draft you, but I know that I'm not going to pay you. No matter what, I'm not going to be able to pay you money. Next.
All right, final one here, Ken. LeBron James went on Instagram Live on Thursday evening and had a Q&A with fans. One of the questions he was asked about was his mentality heading into Game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics in Boston, a game in which LBJ turned in 45 points and 15 rebounds. James said his mentality... here, Ken, you kill me sometimes, Ken. I'll tell
What's
you
the matter?
James said his mentality was that if they don't win that elimination game, that he could have broken up the big three before they could ever win a title. The three-time champion went on to say that he was also worried about his legacy would take a huge hit if he didn't have a big game. Is Game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals the turning point of LeBron's career?
What?
I don't know,
understand the question at all.
Can you tell I've never read it before?
Hickey is gonna call in to do the NFL scouting combine.
Well, I don't understand what he's talking about.
I don't understand what he's talking about either. That was the ramblings of a madman.
I'm reading it exactly as he wrote it.
Well, we're doing four burning questions because I don't even know how to answer that. Do you know how to answer that?
I think so.
Okay,
what was he asking?
What was he asking? Real quick, go ahead, Billy.
So is Game 6 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals the biggest of LeBron's career?
No. No. The biggest game of LeBron's career was Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals.
All right, I mean, that's what I think.
Well, that was a silly question to ask.
He apparently doesn't think so.
Okay, that's it. What a terrible ending to five burning questions. That wasn't even your fault, by the way. That's not your fault, Billy.
No, I know it's not my fault. It's
okay, I'm
fault.
Just making sure the American people know that's not your fault. Coming up next, Charles Davis. It isn't his fault either that thing ended so poorly. 120, the NFL scouting combine. Ryan Hickey's NFL scouting combine. And also, it's better to burn out than to fade away. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carman Show.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweet. Send them hot at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. Coming up in just over 20 minutes. Better to be born than to be made. Also coming up at 1:20 p.m. Eastern, we also have Ryan Hickey's NFL Scouting Combine, where Hickey's going to call us up. Do we have him, by the way, there, Billy? Do we got him?
No, not yet.
Okay, we'll try to bring in our guests as soon as we possibly can. 12:40 Eastern, Charles Davis going to join us, NFL on Fox, hopefully, NFL Network, as well as college football analysts, 855-212-4227. I was saying earlier about, and I got into about Deshaun Watson, and when it comes to the Patriots, because I had to get in what I wanted to get in about Deshaun Watson as well. There's been this notion going around, and I don't understand why it would be said. There's teams that can do this, there's teams that can't. That Bill Belichick and the Patriots would somehow tank and do what they can to lose football games to go up and be able to get Trevor Lawrence in next year's draft. Not only would Bill Belichick not do that, he knows it's the wrong thing to do because it kills the Patriot way, which is a belief that the Patriots do things in a completely different way, that they do things their own way, that's all predicated on winning. You would harpoon that into the ocean and maybe never be able to get it again. This is the scariest thing for Bill Belichick now, because he had before when it came, and I heard the question barely, but we heard the question with about Jimmy Garoppolo. When you had Jimmy Garoppolo, you had an heir apparent to continue the Patriot way. Now you might not. We bring up Jarrett Stidham. It probably is too early for him. If you bring in another quarterback, can Andy Dalton do the same for you? Can Cam Newton do the same for you? Are you an offense, or are you a system that's conducive for Cam Newton? A lot of people say no. Are you the type of organization that can bring in certain other guys as veterans, or do you naturally let Stidham take the reins, let Hoyer take the reins, let Cody Kessler take the reins, try to go out and win football games, and then if you can make a trade for one of the other quarterbacks in the draft there? Or do you possibly get excited about a guy like Jacob Eason later on? There's a lot of questions that have to be answered by the Patriots here. But one of the questions, and it seems like it's the easiest answer for people, is what do they do at quarterback? And their easiest answer is, well, they got to go out and tank. They got to go out there and they got to tank. Just go out and tank. There's teams who can do that. There's teams who can't. There's teams that don't have the structure. They have the change that they're able to go through. Their ownership changes. They're able to do that. There's certain organizations that can't. Bill Belichick at 68 years old, there's nothing about tanking. With the Patriot way, there's nothing about that. You got to get that out of your head. More on that later. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to the hotline. We welcome in. Find him on Twitter at CFD22. Guy's one of the busiest men in football. Analyst on NFL on Fox, NFL Network, also does college football, NFL draft analyst as well. Charles Davis joins us on the show. Charles, thanks for joining us this afternoon, bud.
Thanks, Ken, for having me. I appreciate it and hope that you, your family, loved ones are all safe, just like anyone who could hear our voices.
Absolutely. Same to you and yours as well, my friend. Speaking of the NFL draft, can I share a crazy idea for you here?
Certainly.
I say we have 32 Skypes. You put 32 general managers in 32 different rooms. You can listen to the general manager take phone calls during the 10-minute segment that they have to make the pick. You cannot hear who's on the other end, and that's how they make their draft picks.
Ken, that would be phenomenal television.
It's not a good idea to the NFL, but it would
be
decent television, I hope.
Not buying it at all, as we well know. But if this were an XFL draft, you could see it happening quickly. Right? They would do it in a heartbeat. The NFL, no chance at all. But let's just say this. Somewhere Kevin Costner would say, well, didn't I do that for draft day as Sonny Weaver Jr.?
Seeing a general manager's...
Yeah, somebody would have some posted that would say, above all, Vontae Max, you know.
I need to ask you a question about a couple quarterbacks here, because we're losing our minds for a second, Charles.
Yeah.
That, let me start off with Joe Burrow. Is there any chance at all that the Bengals, and we're getting a little silly here, but why not, is there any chance at all that the Bengals would trade out of that number one spot and let the Dolphins move up and go for Joe Burrow?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, we're human beings, right? And we're talking about the Bengals. Mm-hmm. There's always a chance. I just don't see them doing it. You know, and when I say chance, you know, we're just kind of throwing it out there, just kind of covering ourselves because we all know anything can happen. But let me go ahead and take the cover off. No, it's not going to happen. Joe Burrow's going to Cincinnati.
there's always a chance like things could go poorly, but if they go well, the guy's from, you know, he's technically southeastern Ohio.
Yeah.
It's shooting fish in a barrel for that organization. If things go well, my God, there's people down there. Mo Egger, who's a radio show host in the city, he always brings up the contract with the stadium, the lease with the stadium. I don't want to say it saves football, but boy, it sure as hell helps it down there in Cincinnati, doesn't it?
It does. And look, there is an element of that. You know, we always get into the same thing, Ken. Look, winning cures all, right? Mm-hmm. But while you're on your way to winning, what are you doing to sell your team, sell your franchise, sell hope to your people, right? Your fan base, the people who support your team, who haven't had much to cheer about in the last few seasons. Joe Burrow sells it big time. You could trade out of that and get a passel of players that'll help you down the road. But I don't know that move helps you with your fan base one bit, if that makes any sense at all. I mean, what you'd have to get out of that trade out is someone established that's going to excite your people. And I just don't know that, okay, so let's say you're trading with Miami. I don't care if Miami gives you a live body. There's not a single live body Miami can give you right now that your people are going to go, yeah. No. You got to keep Burrow, start over, hit the reset button at the quarterback position, and sell that as you go forward. Because we always act like Cincinnati is the worst franchise we've ever seen. At one point, they were going to playoffs every single year.
Yep.
Okay, they didn't win, and that's where the ridicule comes in. But they were going every year. They were either winning the division or going as a wild card. You know, unfortunately, they're always playing. They always felt like they're playing that Saturday afternoon game against Houston. It always felt like that anyway, right?
Even though
it wasn't true. But they had a nice little run going, really good football team. They just couldn't get over the hump. Let's not forget that as well. It can be done again.
I still wonder what would have happened, Charles, and we don't need to go on that part, but I still always wonder what would have happened if they would have won that night game, that playoff game against Pittsburgh, where people started losing their heads and Joey Porter was jumping into the fray of it, or even in the one where Carson Palmer ended up getting hurt. What happens?
That was the first one, and let's face it, you know, they started out House of Fire that day, too, before he gets hurt.
Yeah, they did.
And then the other one, of course, was Vontaze Burfict, Pac-Man Jones, who that organization had gone above and beyond to support and keep as part of their franchise because they believed in those guys. And those are the guys who got them in the end. You know, can you imagine that? Think about that, Ken. You know they went well beyond trying to make it work with those two.
Mm-hmm.
And then what were the penultimate plays in that game? And the wild part was, if none of that happens, would we not remember that incredible interception play that Burfict made?
Yes, we would.
That showed why he was as good a football player as he has been in the past, because he is a tremendous football player. But we're never going to remember him for all those plays. We're going to remember him for being the knucklehead that he is.
Yeah, being a goofball. Charles Davis with us on the show. What does Tampa Bay do now in the draft? Because you thought, well, maybe they need to go defense. They got some problems over there. What do you think they do now that they have Tom Brady?
I think they still go defense because that's one great way to help Tom Brady is to make your defense better so he's not having to rescue you all the time. Look, Jameis Winston can't explain away 30 interceptions, 35 turnovers, et cetera, et cetera. You can't explain it away with every play. I think Bruce Arians actually talked about 20 of those interceptions he'd lay squarely on him. The other 10 were a combination of bad routes run, tip balls, things of that nature, which you get as a quarterback. That's going to happen to you. But they put up almost 600 points with Jameis doing all of those other things as well, throwing for 5,000 yards. This is an explosive offense. The defense has got to do their share, and I thought they made progress last year, and they're going to continue to do so because I'm a big Todd Bowles fan. Vita Vey in the middle. That's a big start. You'll get a full season probably out of Jason Pierre-Paul back fully healthy again. Now you get, you know, Shaq Barrett. Now will he recall the same numbers as before, Ken? That's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But can he still be a force? The answer is yes. They're going to have to really supplement the back end, though. Back end of that defense is where everything has to happen, corners and safeties. If they continue to do that and get better there and make it less of shootout games, yeah, that's how you help Tom Brady.
Why all the love for Jordan Love?
This kid, you got to go back to the junior, you know, to the 2018 tape and watch him work Because in 2019, you'll see the same things you see as 2018. You'll see a guy with good vision downfield. You'll see a guy with a compact, nice delivery. You'll see a guy can throw every throw that you want. You'll see a guy with good movement skills. 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions that year with an experienced, very good football team that I think won 10 or 11 games. The next year, 9 starters gone, new head coach, new offensive coordinator. I think he took too much on. You know, he put on his shoulders too much. And it reminded me a little bit of Matt Ryan's last year at Boston College, because he came out and was the number 3 pick in the entire draft, but he threw a bunch of interceptions and didn't have a receiver that I think even went to an NFL camp and somehow fashioned together a pretty darn good football team. Well, Jordan Love's team wasn't anywhere close this year, but they still won 7 games, went to a bowl game. So they did something right. I just think he pressed too much. But when you watch the best of him, I think you'll understand why people like him a lot.
Give me a perfect fit for him, organization and Jordan Love.
Well, I would have said, and I still believe Indianapolis is an absolute perfect fit for him. Because, yes, they signed Phillip Rivers. Now, you'd have to do something with Jacoby Brissett at this point if you're going to bring in Love. But quarterback-friendly head coach and Frank Reich, terrific system. The way that he would be supported, Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator, these guys know how to develop quarterbacks, and he wouldn't have to play right away. You know, and I'm not, and you got to understand, Ken, I'm not a big fan of the old, let's get a quarterback and let him sit 2 or 3 years like it was when I was 5 years old. Look, I'm bigger on, if I'm drafting him, I'm finding a way for him to play as soon as possible. That sounds counterintuitive to a lot of the old guard, but these kids have thrown way more footballs than any of the kids did coming up when we were growing up. Right? These kids have thrown it like crazy. They've been in the camps. They've been in the 7-on-7s. They got their own quarterback tutors. They're not as awed by what they have in front of them, nor is everything as foreign to them as it was when you used to come out and play back in the good old days and take the beating in the NFL. Plus, we'd make it much more quarterback friendly for them. We do stuff that they do in college now in the NFL, which they never did before. You had to let all that go before. Sorry, son, this ain't college. This is the NFL. You got to learn our way. Now they meet that quarterback halfway. So I'm not a huge on that, but I'm also not a person that says that there aren't some benefits to sitting and learning for a while. It worked pretty well for Pat Mahomes, didn't it?
If you were Charles Davis joining us on the show, that's absolutely true about that. If you were Washington, would you take Chase Young and be happy, or would you consider a quarterback?
I'd consider a quarterback. I absolutely would consider a quarterback. Look, I was at the Combine working for NFL Network and saw the tweets from Dwayne Haskins, and rightly so. He's upset, right? He's heard all of us talking about, hey, maybe you better take a look and see if Tua is available. Do your homework on him. He's like, you know, he tweeted out something like ticked off for greatness or something like that. Terrific. That's what you want out of your quarterback. Now, I'm not a big believer that you got to tweet it to me. Just go to the weight room, go to the film room, go out there and work out and do it. That's all I need from you. But that's what they're trying to figure out. Is he the right guy for them? And the tough part is, remember, there's no GM in Washington now. So the number one guy there really is Ron Rivera, the head coach. But who does he have to get approval from? That'd be the owner. Now, the owner really helped draft Dwayne Haskins, local kid, et cetera. Chase Young has some of that going for him as well. I think it's a tough sell, but if Ron Rivera really believes that he's not going to be comfortable with Dwayne Haskins, and I'm not saying he's not, I'm just saying if that's what he determines, he's got to have that hard conversation with the owner of the team before being able to do that. But that's how he feels. Look, Arizona went back-to-back quarterbacks, weren't comfortable with Rosen, weren't comfortable with the coaching staff, changed all that. They're actually on the uptick right now. Sometimes you just got to admit you made a mistake and move on. If that's how Washington feels, then they should, but that remains to be determined. I still believe probably Chase Young probably ends up there, even though in my first mock I gave him Tua. Chase Young is more likely to go there than Tua is, I think, at this time.
Charles, can't thank you enough for the time. I always wish I had more with you. I hope to run you down again soon, my friend. Stay safe.
You do the same, and look forward to it, Ken. We'll talk down the road, I'm sure. You take care of yourself, okay?
You too. Thank you very much. The great Charles Davis, analyst, NFL on Fox, NFL Networks, college football, as well as NFL draft analyst. Follow him on Twitter at CFD22. There's been a lot of different stories that have come out, and I've been careful about this in Washington. There's been a lot of different stories that have come out that have really said some nasty things about Dwayne Haskins. You know, basically, a couple of rumors out there like, oh, he can barely read. It's like, you guys got to be careful about some of this stuff, okay? Like, there are people there who didn't like Dwayne Haskins. And now that there's Ron Rivera, Ron Rivera has no, doesn't need to have any love. He has no connection to Dwayne Haskins. This is just the simple fact of it. Do you plan on drafting this high again? Do you believe in Dwayne? Do you believe in Dwayne Haskins fully? If you don't, then you go after a quarterback. Let's leave it to that. That door has already been opened. They did it last year in Arizona. Now they're putting in more pieces for Kyler Murray. He made a pretty fine representation of himself. This is going to be a big year here for him. Now that that's already open, we have to consider that now. And for Dan Snyder, Dan Snyder did play a significant part in bringing in Dwayne Haskins. Dan Snyder is desperately looking for leadership there. You have it with Ron Rivera. There's no general manager, just like what Charles said. Ron's basically in charge. If you're Dan Snyder, if I'm guessing, and maybe Redskins fans feel differently, if I'm guessing, I think Dan Snyder would go, yeah, whatever you feel, Ron. You make the decision. If you feel we need to go with Tua or we need to go with Justin Herbert or someone there at two, then fine, let's go ahead and do it. Coming up next, no such thing as tanking. And Ryan Hickey's NFL Scouting Combine in just over 20 minutes. Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.